This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Gloves looking for Gloves looking for Jaden Reed. Not there. Goes back the other way. Sets up a screen. Bounces it off of people and into the end zone. It's Tucker Kraft for the touchdown.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back. Niners fall in Green Bay 38-10. The final score, that highlight you just heard, Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady via Fox. That was the first touchdown of this game. Tucker Kraft, 11 yards out. It was a 12-play, 67-yard drive that took nearly the first entire half of the first quarter off the clock. Green Bay's first three drives all were scoring drives, and they all were double-digit play drives. 12 plays, 10 plays, 12 plays, 17-0 Green Bay. But believe it or not, there were a couple of moments in the second half where the Niners possessed the ball only down 10 with the chance to get back within one score, turnover on downs, and an interception. Green Bay turns those turnovers into points. They ultimately win 38-10. A couple of garbage time scores really made it really bad. It wasn't good at any point, but the final score really bad, 38-10. And Kyle, you and I were talking during the break as we welcome everybody back. Mark Randy comments and Sterling Bennett. This is the Niners' worst loss in history to Green Bay, and that's saying something considering these two teams have been playing against each other for quite a long time.
Yeah, so Nick Wagner from ESPN had the stat here, and I want to make sure I get this right for everybody. Their 28-point loss today, their worst ever. The second worst back in 1960, they fell by 27 points. In 1959, they lost by 22 points. 97-21 in 1955-21. It's also their third biggest loss since Kyle Shanahan took over in 2017. Mm. The other two losses were in 2017 and 2018. It's a new low, boys.
I have another stat I can add on to that. Put this one on for size, guys. Fewest first downs in a game for the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan. 11 versus the Seahawks, week 2, 2017. 11 versus the Eagles in the 2022 NFC Championship game. And then today, 11 versus the Packers. Tied for the fewest first downs in the Shanahan era.
I told you it felt like the 2022 NFC title game. Just like, you know what? They don't got it today. I don't know.
We suck.
We just suck. I mean, yeah.
I was gonna
use more words than that, but that's where I was landing the plane. No, man, it's like I get that we're gonna have these big conversations about, you know, firing people and cutting people and this and that, and I don't think the Niners are gonna have those same conversations necessarily. But we just heard on the way back the Packers' first touchdown. And it was like a double screen look where Jordan Love had two different screens he could throw on that play.
Yeah, I think Jaden Reed on the left side.
And Tucker Kraft.
Back on the right, yeah.
And it's like, man, and this is, I think, what our last caller was getting at. It's like, remember when the Niners used to do that stuff? Remember when they used to do cool stuff? Like a fake toss and then another fake toss and like a fake screen and a 360 and a throw back over the middle to George Kittle. And it was like, wow, that was fun and creative. They did the like reverse end around flea flicker screen pass today. Really interesting, really fun. Didn't see anything else as far as interesting and fun. And it goes to show like where Deebo Samuel is right now. That was the one manufactured touch for him. That's it. That was the one time they went, all right, we need to get the ball in Debo's hands. And they had to do 19 things to get it to him first. And I just, they didn't have a shot today. And it bears itself out in the numbers you're reading. Like one of the worst offenses performances under Kyle Shanahan. And it's like, yeah, man, they were on their backup quarterback, their backup left tackle. Brandon Ayuk is out. They're on whatever version of Deebo Samuel this is. It's disappointing that there wasn't more creativity offensively. That there wasn't, it wasn't just like, hey, kitchen sink game. Here you go. Like, I know that there's only so much they could have done, but I also would have liked to see him do like a little bit more. At least look like you're trying.
It did feel like that those calls, those trick plays, those special, you know, Shanahan in his bag plays were saved for, you know, desperation times. Well, is this whole game not desperation time?
You're right, it is.
Like, exactly, this is dude.
A must-win game with your backup quarterback, your Hall of Fame left tackle's not playing, so it's Jalen Moore, who surprisingly wasn't that bad today. You wasted a great Jalen Moore day. How often can you say that? It's like, and then you don't have Nick Bosa, so you, and then Leonard Floyd gets you two sacks, and your defense is keeping you alive a little bit in the second half, and it's like, you know, sometimes I wonder, I know the fan base is much more prone to sound the alarm, to hit the panic button, go, oh, everything's got to get fired and changed, but I wonder when that moment is for Kyle Shanahan. Because not that he'll sit there and fire the entire staff and restart from new and trade everybody away and say, you know what, 2017 all over again, we're rebuilding everything. No, that's insane. But I have to wonder, in games, when and at what moments does he say, okay, we got to score. If we don't, game's over with. And going forward on 4th-and-2, yeah, that's the moment you point to and say, okay, he gets it. You had the score here. But in the play call he uses, you're like, huh?
Yep.
Empty set, McCaffrey, like, what? Why? Eric Saubert, 3rd-and-7, why is that your first read? Why? And again, I know Shanahan believes he's smart and he's a genius and all those things, in which those things are still true. Shanahan's a darn good offensive play caller, but it just feels like that he's kind of like Robin Williams in Hook. He forgot he's Peter Pan. You got to go back to Neverland and refine that magic, man. Go back to Neverland and refine who you once were. You were Peter Pan, brother. You were this ever-long, amazing offensive play caller, but you've grown old and you're kind of old and ragged and you got gray hairs in and you're like, I forgot what it was like when I was out there dialing up plays every single time, when I was making Nick Mullins lead George Kittle to a record-breaking receiving yard year. Where did that stuff go? I want to know when that moment is for Kyle Shanahan, because today should have been that day from the jump, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. I also think when we have this conversation, like, clearly, and I've been beating this drum all season, there has to be more creativity from Kyle Shanahan. Like, I am absolutely begging. I want to feel, again, where I'm like, wow, that was an incredible play call, and I haven't felt that all year. Like, I've been asking for that. But it's something you brought up, Kyle. It's something we've been talking about for a while now. We also have to maybe face reality that the players that would capitalize on those kind of creative plays, they just might not be that good anymore. Like Deebo Samuel, I mean, the biggest indictment on Deebo Samuel's ability is this game today.
Yes.
You're playing with your backup quarterback, as you said, Kyle, feels like the 2022 NFC Championship game where you had no quarterbacks. And when you have that situation, you just give the ball to Deebo Samuel over and over and over and over again because you feel like he's good enough, he'll break something. He'll make magic happen. He touched the ball once on offense. Once, and it was a trick play.
Yep.
Like, that. If that is not Kyle Shanahan and the Niners offense saying that they don't believe Deebo Samuel has it anymore, then I don't know what it says. Like, that has to be what it says. That is the biggest indictment on Deebo Samuel's ability, that the 49ers aren't even trying to give him the ball anymore. Because this was a game in 2022, in 2021, he has 15 touches in this game.
Yep.
At least. Yep. And probably five of them, six, seven of them are carries.
Zero.
He had no carries. One catch and it was on a trick play.
Yeah.
Like, they're telling you with what they're calling, Deebo Samuel doesn't have it anymore. It is clear as day.
I also think it's not a great sign that your first round wide receiver can't get a target. Yeah. Not one. We're not drawing anything up for Ricky Pearsall. Can't get him a screen. Can't get him a slant. Nothing. All right, man. Keep taking those deep shots to Chris Conley, though. Love that. How exciting.
It was fun. Yeah, you're
CC
right.
CC18 the ball, baby.
Yeah. I'm enthralled.
Gah.
Locked in.
That Eric Saubert target really got me going. Ugh.
God, they're not good. They're just not they're good. Not.
Like, that's, like, I think they're going to be okay going forward.
Yeah.
Not necessarily this season. Like, you're probably looking at, like, 6-7 wins this year. But, like, going into next year, there just has to be some soul-searching. It has to look a little bit different. I kind of wonder if we see them change their philosophy on, well, we're just going to kind of build a patchwork offensive line because you need the dudes who get the ball and score the touchdowns. It's like, okay, so Trey Sermon, Danny Gray, and who's the other guy? Ty Davis Price?
Tyrion Davis Price.
Like, come on, man. Like, that's what we're doing instead of building an offensive line. And I think part of the reason that we're not seeing that creativity from Kyle Shanahan is because they can't block anybody. They are not a good offensive front. You cannot have trick plays and slow developing plays when, A, it's going to get blown up, and now you're risking turnovers.
Yeah.
I think they need to rethink a lot of things. I'm not ready to punt Kyle Shanahan just yet. Yes. I totally understand the people who are frustrated and had it up to here with them. Totally get it. But this offseason is the one where, all right, like, you know what works and what doesn't with what your team's going to look like over the next few years. No Debo, maybe no McCaffrey, no George Kittle. Talking again over the next 4 or 5 years. You got to start making changes to what the offense looks like now.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. We can get more into that in a little bit, but I want to go out to the phone lines as promised. Mike has been hanging out on hold patiently. We'll get to all you guys if you just hang out on hold. There are a lot of you on the line, so stay patient. We will get to you. Up next is Mike in San Diego. I know Mike wanted to talk about Debo. Mike, how you doing? What do you think about Debo and the Niners?
I'm doing well. It just, for me, it's kind of sad watching Debo now. Not because, like, yeah, he's bad. We get that. But he's a team legend, and it's just, he's not the same player anymore.
Nope.
It's very, this entire season's nearing, like, last year's Warriors season to me. Even down to the team legend who just doesn't have it anymore. Things seem stale. Blowing big leads a bunch. And the Warriors did a kind of bit of a soft reset. And I think Shanahan is probably going to have to be in the same scenario where you're going to have to do minor changes to philosophy, get an entire new support staff, and see what happens. Like, I'm not ready to give up on Shanahan because, like, 20 teams would hire him immediately.
No doubt.
Yep.
So you got a good coach. But, yeah, I think it's time for philosophy change. And I know Kerr was able to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'm not so sure about Shanahan, though. We'll see.
Interesting point. I appreciate the call. I think, like, what we saw, obviously, the Warriors do was they said bye to Clay, although they seemed like they wanted to bring Clay back at the right number.
Clay said goodbye to the Warriors.
It's true. But what Kerr has also done multiple times, and Shanahan, take notes, before the 2022 season when the Warriors won the championship and before this season, overhauled the coaching staff. Overhauled the coaching staff, brought in new faces, new voices, new thoughts, adjusted.
Interesting.
Won a championship in 2022 and off to a 12-3 start this year.
I love this. Is Chris Kocurek washed? Let's talk about it.
Bring in an actual defensive coordinator and, you know, fire your special teams coordinator to start.
Ryan Schneider's got to go.
To start.
Please.
I think that's an interesting point. Sterling, what do you think?
I would push back because Kyle has been forced to kind of redo his entire coaching staff because everyone was poaching them for a long time. So, yes, I would agree that Brian Schneider has to go. And I don't know if Nick Sorensen gets fired or let go after you fired Steve Volks last year, unless someone's out there you point to. Maybe it's Jeff Ulbrich or Robert Saleh. He wants to come back to San Francisco. Maybe if the Bears fire Eberflus, he's a pretty good DC. I don't know if that scheme matches San Francisco at all, but I do think that there is some credence to the idea that San Francisco, you know, sometimes when you have a firm foundation and that keeps getting plucked away from other teams, sometimes the foundation starts to crumble a little bit and you find yourself on sand. I think that's kind of where San Francisco is at, where, okay, you have an identity in regards of what you want to do, but you don't have the players and not even the coaching staff to execute that at what level you want them to do. So, but even into that, Debo Samuel feels like this team's Clay Thompson. He was called out by Terrell Owens on this very station, and he wanted to come back at him on Twitter in a small little kind of comment, and then, okay, how do you respond? By doing literally nothing. When, no offense to T.O., we love you out here, but as a diva receiver as Terrell Owens was, when that guy calls you out, you better answer in the right way. And Debo didn't answer at all. Didn't even pick up the phone, and I'm going to say Deebo Samuel in 2024 is a front runner. It's all name value. It's all swag and the celebrations, but he has two celebrations this year, and they've been rather meaningless for this team. Mm-hmm. This team needs Deebo Samuel. He has been a ghost all year long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only just the one touch on offense, which was the trick play that went for 21 yards, and we know he had the nice kickoff return that got called back. He had a couple other targets that he did not catch. One of those went right through his hands and turned into maybe the play of the game, an interception that turned the tide and ignited the Packers and flipped the football game. At the very least, Deebo, you gotta get your hands on it and knock it down. You can't let it go straight through your hands, waiting with the defensive back waiting right behind you. So I was a very, very bad game for Deebo, and it's getting difficult, more difficult with every passing week, to not come to the conclusion that Deebo just simply isn't the player that he once was. It's becoming very difficult not to feel that way. Okay, yep. Back out to the phones we go. 888-957-9570. Javier in Vacaville is up next. Javier, thanks for holding. How you doing today?
How you doing, Mr. Grandy, Mr. Bennett?
Mr. Madsen. Say hi to Kyle, too.
No.
Kyle's not here.
It's all right. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, like back to the core stuff. Like I was saying, the 49ers, it's not about so much firing the coordinators. Like, you know, you guys kind of stated previously just 10 seconds ago or so, kind of steal my thunder. But statistically, I mean, you're giving up over 100 net yards and penalties on special teams alone. And defensively, Sorensen is not ready for the job. I mean, you know, you look at the team, you guys are saying what everyone sees. I mean, it doesn't take a blind man to witness the Niners are doing what, you know, other teams had to deal with when we played them the previous five seasons. And I feel like Shanahan needs to look himself, not in the mirror, but look at his team and say, you know, as staff, and loyalty will get you killed in business. And I feel like he's being loyal to people who've been around Sorensen. You know, who's been there for years as, you know, assistant, you know, pass game coordinator, defensive back coach, et cetera. Schneider's had 15 years in the league as a special teams coordinator, but it's a production-based business. I mean, Deebo Samuel, we're seeing the iron falling off piece by piece, week by week, day by day. But, you know, I think ultimately to get this right, Shanahan's going to – I mean, after today, I truly believe that Shanahan's going to have to get a passing game coordinator / offensive coordinator, because the Niners have been figured out and he's lost some touch. I mean, they're predictable. Everything that they've ran, other teams have taken and made better. And that's not anything against Shanahan. That means that his scheme once was at the top of its rank. But the Niners are being sought after, snapping and snap out. I mean, Jordan Mason led the league in rushing, doesn't get a snap. Look at a guy like Brian Daboll. He'd be a great addition to this offense as an offensive coordinator, but it's a pride thing. Shanahan, you're going to let go of some of that pride. Or you can go out like your dad did when he left the Redskins, now the Commanders, and the Broncos, et cetera. And you're going to have to utilize different type of personnel packages. There's no reason why he shouldn't be getting touches. Garrido shouldn't be getting touches. You know, like you said, Pearsall. I mean, him not getting a touch, I think, is more a lack of production, not from his own usage and target standpoint, but his lack of skill set. I think that was a stretch draft in him there. We could have used all his alignment, I think, 13 times out of 10 at that spot last year. But that's Shanahan saying, oh, I want another piece that I'm going to put with this, you know, checkboard that I got here. And that's fine and well. But now the roosters, or now, like you say in layman's terms, the hens are coming to roost. And everyone's looking back, roosting at Shanahan, and Shanahan doesn't have anything to work with. Well, a lot of these pieces he put together himself because he is the ultimate GM de facto. He gets the final call on personnel. And my last point is people are going to scoff. Oh, why? If I'm the 49ers, I'm signing Daniel Jones tomorrow. And not to replace Purdy, but that's an asset management piece that you can dish down the line, because if there's anyone that can rework Shanahan in regards to not just the asset value, but who can rework his value in the league, it would be Kyle Shanahan. And if you don't believe it, look at what he got for, or look what Darnold is now, look what Purdy is today. Most importantly, what's the problem of stashing him away in this team? Because you're like, you playing Brandon Allen with a broken middle finger, and you telling me he's more worthy to play than Josh Osmond, then hey, then you know something that we all don't.
Yeah, Javier, appreciate the call, Javier. I mean, Daniel Jones doesn't have a job right now, and he's going to get signed by somebody. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. If Brock Purdy's back next week, then it literally does not matter. And if Daniel Jones is your quarterback, if Brock Purdy's out for the season, surprise. First of all, Kyle Shanahan hates playing guys that don't know his offense, so I'm not sure he'd even play Daniel Jones. And two, if Daniel Jones miraculously does play, I guarantee you the Niners are not putting together a run and making the playoffs with Daniel Jones as their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I don't think Daniel Jones is signing a multi-year contract at this point.
No, he's signing for the rest of the season to play a little bit.
And then hitting free agency.
And not signing a major deal, but getting a little chunk of money.
Now, I will say... If they got whatever MRI Brock Purdy got and they go, he may not come back this year, and you want to give it a rip with Daniel Jones, fine. Like, whatever. I'm not going to go out here and say, like, they should do that or they need to do that. It's just, I get the idea. If this offseason, if the Niners want to Sam Darnold him and make him a backup for a year, that's a fine idea. I'm okay with that.
Also, I'm out on Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator too.
Kyle Shanahan's not giving up play calling, right?
No. And no, he shouldn't.
I think he'd quit.
He just needs to adjust.
He'd quit before he did that, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not signing Vanilla Vic or Danny Dimes? It's off the table? This year at least?
If Brock Purdy is back and playing next week, which you don't really know, Adam Schefter sent out a really cryptic tweet this morning about
it. Cryptic or just saying nothing? He might come back, but also...
Maybe
he
not.
Might not.
So we'll have to find out. We'll have to be patient with that. But, I mean, even if Brock Purdy is back, I mean, again, the analytics say what? The Niners' postseason chances are somewhere around 15%. Maybe it took a little bit of a boost once the Cardinals lost, and now they're still only a game out of the NFC West. Wild card seems to be out of the picture entirely now. You're going to have to win the division to go to the postseason. The Niners still somehow only a game out, but they do not have the tiebreaker on anybody in the division at the moment, so we'll see how it does play out. Okay, we got to take a quick break. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. He's Kyle Madsen, that's Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Randy. We got a couple of you on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. Also, we will hear from Kyle Shanahan before the night is over. We got plenty more to get into as the Niners fall in Green Bay 38-10. The Niners' worst loss to the Packers in history, and these two teams have been playing football for a very, very long time. Today was an embarrassment for the 49ers. More OT coming up next on 95.7 The Game.